And at 24 minutes after the hour, on a winsome Wednesday morning, we're joined by Pastor Robbie Pruitt, coming to us from the wilds of Virginia up there, and an Anglican pastor. And someday, Robbie, I'm going to have to ask you more about the Anglican Church. It has a fascinating history. And we'll cover some of that. David Allen Punt is here, too. And together, we're going to take a look at the clan, the Herod clan. Is Herod, Robbie, let's start with my ignorance here. I see a kinds of, Herod is like a first name. There's Herod the Great, so his last That's name right. was the Great. Then there was Antipas, and there was Agrippa, all in the family. Herod is his first, all we know from Josephus, right? Isn't that where we learn primarily about Herod, and then, of course, the Bible?
Sure. There's mention of many of the Herods. You've got Herod Philip, the first husband of Herodias, Philip the Tetrarch. You've got Herod
Archelaus. Is that the same Philip? Philip the Tetrarch is the same as Herod? And didn't he build Caesarea Philippi? There were two Caesareas, right?
Well, Caesarea Philippi is certainly not one of Herod the Great's building construction. Herod the Great built, of course, the Herodium, the Temple Mount, Marcellus, Masada, mm-hmm.
And Caesarea Maritima. Okay.
It's Maritima, not Maritime. You say potato, I say potato.
Well, I'm speaking in the original Latin, you know.
Well, you do that. I don't have that.
When I was in school, you could still take Latin, even in grade school. So, but I didn't. So forgive me.
I took 4 years of Latin too.
Did you?
Yeah, E pluribus unum is what I came out with.
So. Good. I'm glad you retained some of that then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have good. Some.
Yeah.
It was helpful. It was, it's helpful in understanding Romance languages, French and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't speak French or Spanish either.
Yeah, well, that's just as well. We've got, I've got a link in the chat window, Robbie, to the link that you provided to the biblical archaeology page there, the Bible history. And so if anybody wants to follow along with this, that chart is something else. It's got arrows lines pointed all over the place. Let's start with Herod the Great. He was the founder of the dynasty, was he not?
Yes, and he was born around 70 BC, took reign around 37, and died around 4 CE, mm-hmm. so the common era. And this Herod the Great is the Herod that we would be familiar with, who tried to, the slaughtering of the innocents, the mm-hmm. one who tried to kill
the babies, yeah.
Jesus, yeah. And this is the madman who killed his sons and some of his wives. And he is the one who is noted for most of the building projects throughout the Holy Land. So this is the Herod that is most notable. He's a puppet king for Rome. He's building the Temple Mount and the fortress, the Antonia Fortress there at the northwestern corner to keep an eye on the Jews. He's trying to appease the Jews with this building project. I was actually just reading in Biblical Archaeology Review that they found some coins dating later, even as far as 50 AD, mm-hmm. That would indicate that Temple Mount was being built long after Herod the Great's death. Hmm. But we ascribe that to Herod, and you can tell Herod's building projects, especially around the Temple Mount, and you can tell them apart from, say, Solomon's or the rebuilding of the Temple Mount after the exile, because Herod put a 3-inch border around the limestone. He actually set them in about a quarter of an inch from one another. And then he had the laborers chisel a 3-inch border. So they're known as Herodian stones.
Mm-hmm. Well, the story is that he was pacifying the Jews by rebuilding the temple. That wouldn't have been a priority for his Roman overlords by any means. And he also placed a Roman eagle over the entrance to the holy place, which would have been less than complimentary for the Jews.
Sure.
He built things all over. Jesus makes mention of the temple, talking with his disciples about how every stone will be torn down and he'll rebuild it in 3 days. the temple apparently was still under construction at that point.
Right.
That would have been
and
roughly 25.
So this
25.
Coinage mm-hmm. that was found, often if you find a coin, it helps you date the archaeological site. So they have found coinage that dates the some of the stones and the walls of the Temple Mount back to 50 AD, which is long after Herod the Great's death. But yeah, he was trying to appease the Jews, keep them happy. It made his job a lot easier. So while his Roman overlords may not have been so concerned about that, it certainly was a concern of his to keep the peace.
Now, he was put in place by Rome. He was established on the throne by Rome, or did what nationality is he, or was he?
Say, it's been said, say it's safer to be Herod's pig than his wife, because yeah. There's debate on how Jewish he was, but we knew that he killed his wives, but we also knew he made a very bad Jew, because he ate all kinds of different foods and wasn't very devout in terms of his Judaism.
Well, he was raised as a Jew. That doesn't mean that his DNA was from the Jewish people, right. But he was trained in his youth to be a Jew, and apparently went against that too, kind of a rebellious sort. But yes, it was Rome that put him in power. They were the only ones that could confer kingship. And well, that meant that Herod had to travel to Rome with his legal staff and make a case before the Senate. And they would have had to said, okay, you got the job. And then he would go back and he would execute all of his rivals. In fact, Jesus, in a parable about the young ruler going away and asking his disciples to continue doing his business while he's absent, has precisely to do with that bit of Roman history, which would have been everyday knowledge in first century Israel.
Really?
Yeah. So there's a lot That's how they did it. They'd go make their case before the Senate, but it was a vicious talk about being politically divided. I mean, if you ran against Herod, if you were a competitor for the throne, and he went to Rome and got the okay, you better be scarce.
Wow.
You better disappear.
Yeah, and for a biblical kind of connection to how kings would do that, you can look at 2 Samuel chapter 9, when David takes the throne and is gracious towards King Saul's family with Mephibosheth. You can see some of these 1,000 years previous, the treatment of kings and their families. Yeah, the appropriate response to any threat to your throne is to slaughter them, which makes David's kindness to Mephibosheth so interesting in 2 Samuel 9. But that's for another day. But yeah, Herod the Great traveled to Rome often, and even when he builds Caesarea Maritima, he does that to honor Caesar. So you get that in the name. And in that building project, you really see some of the first examples of concrete in that port. And we know that the Romans used a rudimentary concrete, that we still use that recipe today in our building project. So Herod was a great builder. But when he builds his temple, he builds the Herodium in the west and south of the Temple Mount, and he literally takes the one mountaintop and puts it on the other, so that mountain is high enough that he can look over from that. It's really a small palace compared to some of his other building projects, but he can see the temple.
Again, something that Jesus referred to in teaching his disciples and his lesson about faith, that you would have the faith to move a mountain. And ostensibly, he was in Bethany, just to the other side of Jerusalem there, with that mountain in the background. You can see the Herodium from Jerusalem. And
still on a clear day now, I mean, with the air pollution, it's difficult to see some days, but on a clear day, absolutely, you can see that even now.
So it's amazing how referenced Herod is really throughout, and Herod the Great was long dead by then. It wasn't, his death is described for us, is it not?
Well, we do see this in Josephus. He talks about the burial of Herod the Great. Yes, Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian, talks about that. And the burial place is debated. They found a tomb on the side of the Herodium. There are some scholars that actually believe that the body of Herod was implanted in the East Tower, which has since been destroyed. It was the largest of the towers, actually 50 feet in circumference versus the 35 of the other three towers set at the compass points. Mm-hmm. But on the Eastern Tower, it's actually a solid tower, and it's missing the top. It would have been the highest tower, which would have made that mountain even more visible. And some people believe that Herod was entombed in that tower. Now, Jewish law forbids someone to be buried in their home, but there's actually indication that the lower palaces were the living quarters of the Herodium, not the mountain itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was a disuse in the upper part of that mountain later on, so it would not have been his home, and it would not have been counter to Jewish law. But then again, Herod's not a good Jew. Herod the Great is not a good Jew. But to his own orders, he had basically planned his funeral, which we all should do.
Mm-hmm.
As a minister, there's times where I'm planning funerals for people that, you know, it would have been easier if you just wrote down what you wanted. And that's exactly what Herod did.
Mm. I want to get
My
back.
My mother did that, too.
I want to get back to Herod's death. There's a death of one. Is it Antipas who was eaten by worms after his presentation? In I think it was in Caesarea, where he went to a stadium to address the public, and he wore a shiny suit of armor, and the sunlight was getting, and it made him look like a god, and he did not deny it. That's the way that the Bible puts it. Where do we read that? Which of the Gospels is that story in?
I think it's Mark. Don't quote me on that. Okay. It's not fresh in my memory, but I know I have heard what you're talking about.
Well, I'm wondering if that's Herod the Great, because it says 4 BC, and for some reason that I connect that year with that story. That would have been a little early for Mark, though, because he doesn't really go back in history that far. He doesn't even mention Jesus' birth in the book of Mark. So I'm a little confused. That could have been Antipas, who was eaten by worms. What a way to go.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, not a good thing. But Jesus called Herod Antipas that fox, and I believe that the whole, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, move from here to there, and it'll mm-hmm. be done for you. That's an insult to what it took to build that mountain. I believe he was saying big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Herod eaten by worms, by the way, is in Acts chapter 12. We see this in Acts chapter 12.
Yeah, that's so right. Just found it. And that was, now you mentioned Caesarea. It was in Caesarea because this happened right after Peter's escape from prison, as is described in Acts. And so that would have been Herod Antipas.
Right.
Not the
right.
Great. Okay.
And so, contrary to that four, it's not four.
No, AD. It would not be.
Yeah,
no.
Much later. So Antipas is, Jesus says, you know, that he's called, that quote, that fox, which is an insult, because a fox slinks around at night and steals things. And, Jesus is insulting Antipas in this. And this is the one who is beheading John the Baptist and really living right there. And one of the more recent archaeological discoveries of Marcus, I'm not saying
now,
that.
Now, that one is just east of the Dead Sea, is it not?
So that's correct.
Like opposite,
that's one of the only
Qumran
building projects I have not visited. Mm-hmm. It's east and north, on the more northern eastern shore of the Dead Sea. So from it, you can, of course, see over the Dead Sea, and it would have been you would have been able to see across that area towards Qumran, where a lot of people think that John the Baptist spent time because of his interest in ritualistic purification. But of course,
reference to the Essenes. In fact, some suspect that Jesus was, if not a member of the Essenes, was intimately acquainted with them. And in fact, on the night of the Last Supper, went to the Essene quarter, where he knew he could find sanctuary.
right?
Away from the
and
crowds,
that's northwest of the Dead Sea there, mm-hmm. Qumran. Mm-hmm. So John the Baptist is imprisoned by Antipas, and of course he's taken Herodias, his brother's wife, and Herod Philip's wife. And John the Baptist speaks out against this, and of course he has him in prison. And then Salome wants the head of John the Baptist.
Do you know if that particular location was built by Herod the Great as well? Because he had palaces all over the place, including Jericho.
Right. That actually dates back to 90. And Archaeological Review has done a really good write-up of this in their winter edition, volume 46. So you can look at that, Biblical Archaeological Review. It's on the front cover. And it was built in 90 BC and was conquered by the Romans and, of course, later rebuilt during Herod the Great's
reign. So it was a much older site then. Yeah, okay.
Made it one of his palaces.
Okay, gotcha. So it was a much older place and not built by Herod the Great, but possibly rebuilt by him.
Of course, just like the Temple Mount. I mean, mm-hmm. Herod the Great did not build the Temple Mount. Solomon did.
Mm-hmm.
But he, of course, rebuilt it after it had been rebuilt many times. I mean, the Temple Mount had been built and rebuilt multiple times since it was initially constructed 900 BC. Of course, after the exile, after the Babylonians destroyed it in 586 BC, when the return around 515, of course, that Temple Mount was rebuilt. And then it was rebuilt again by Herod. And you mentioned putting the eagle there, which is idolatrous.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews did not have any living imagery on anything, which is why if you look at the ossuaries, the bone boxes of a Jewish person, it has no graven images of mm-hmm. any living creature on it. Now, it has geometrical shapes, and it has flowers, things like that, like floral patterns, but it will never have a living creature on it. So this is during the time of the Maccabees, you know, that they were trying to pull that eagle down, and there mm-hmm. was bloodshed in the Temple Mount over this eagle. And
well, the Maccabees were before the Romans, though. Would that eagle have been there then?
It's around Herod's time. So
okay, well, the Maccabees preceded. The Romans came through in 63 B.C., and that's when Pompey.
Yeah, I'm just spoke on that.
Okay.
Regrets.
So I just wanted to double-check, because the times were so turbulent. In fact, if you follow this link that we put in the chat window there, you'll come to a little chart with all kinds of loops back and what the different members of the dynasty did during their reigns. And it lasted quite a while. And it's this chart speaks to the political turbulence of the time as well, because Herod the Great built Masada as a refuge in case things went horribly wrong for him in Jerusalem. If the Jews revolted, he had a place that was absolutely safe where he could see the entire south of Israel there and spot any invading armies from any direction. The man was thinking ahead and responding to the environment in which was just as vicious as he was. I mean, he was a man of his time, was he not?
Yeah, and not only could he watch for his enemies, he could do it from the comfort of his swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that,
that's true.
He had a full-size swimming pool on Masada. Like, I visited it, and I've seen it. He's had dove coats mm-hmm. in the Western Wall where they're raising doves. There were crops up there. It was a self-sustaining environment. Some of the cisterns in there are astounding. There were storehouses where the amphora that were discovered from all over had remains of fish and wine from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
They found all kinds of imports inside the clay wall of the amphora from food from all over. So the saying is, well, what does Herod eat for lunch?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is anything he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, he really would ship things in and have it put up there. There's the snake path that leads up to Masada. And I actually did not hike up it, but I hiked down it when I left Masada and was wore out. I could not imagine mm-hmm. what it took to haul and Bill.
The only access was by a stereo winding staircase around that mountain. And well, he built it for siege. And if he was locked in by invading armies, he was good for years and years and years, both with the water supply and food stores there. And you can speak to this too, Robbie, because I know that Preserving Bible Times is getting ready a video that shows in detail a number of these places and talks about Herod the Great. Tell us about that.
Indeed. One of our board members, John, has put together and you have done some of the videography on it. Mm-hmm. And it's astounding, Jim. I really have gotten a chance to preview this short film, this video, this short movie. It's less than 30 minutes long, but it covers Herod the Great's major building projects, except for Machaerus. I don't believe it mentions that, but it does mention the Antonia Fortress. It mentions the Temple Mount, Caesarea Maritima. It mentions the Herodium and, of course, Masada.
His Jerusalem Palace also is mentioned, and that's part of that magnificent Jerusalem model, which I hopefully people know about, because that is tell us about that. That's an amazing edifice all by itself.
The model,
yeah, it's a 50 to 1 scale model of a first century Jerusalem, and it's just stunning. You were there. Did you get to see that?
I did not, no. And I kicked myself. I was there in 2018, mm-hmm. and I decided to tour inside the city rather than go to the museum, and I wish I hadn't, mm-hmm. because I had already seen the stuff in the city but had not seen that scale model. And there's some artifacts as well that I wanted to see that I didn't get a chance to see. I've seen video of it, mm-hmm. and you've got a clip in the Two Crowns film as well.
Two Crowns, King Herod versus King Jesus. And in fact, Preserving Bible Times is getting ready, and Robbie, I know you're involved with this too, with a launch party for that video, which will happen in late March. I think, 29th? Is that what the target date is for that?
That's right. And we're talking about a comparison and contrasting between Jesus the King and King Herod the Great. Mm-hmm. And as we're comparing and contrasting, which of these kings is more impressive? And we are doing that after Palm Sunday on the 28th. Mm-hmm. So when you think about Jesus' triumphal entry through the eastern gate of the temple that Herod built, by the way, and Antipas is ruling, and they are waving these palm branches and saying, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There, Hosanna, King Jesus. So we are going to reflect upon King Jesus and King Herod the Great the day after. So that launch party is strategically placed the day after Palm Sunday to reflect when all of us during Holy Week are thinking about King Jesus.
And again, it'll be free for people to join the launch party and take a look at this video. And if you go to the Preserving Bible Times website or sign up for the newsletter, you'll soon receive a glimpse of the trailer, the movie trailer that has been prepared as well. I think you find it fascinating. And the aerial shots of Masada and the Herodium and of Caesarea are just stunning. And it's amazing what the technology of archaeology has allowed us to see, including satellite photos even. It's become a very helpful tool to uncovering both the historic and cultural context of the Bible. The land, as Doug always used to say, is the fifth gospel. And it truly is. So that this video will be I'm going to say a feather in your cap if you can take a look at it. You'll be able to tell a whole lot of history about the Bible, about Scripture, just by learning from this video. So we're looking forward to that. Robbie, Herod and his kin looked like they lasted how long? Looking at this chart again, let's see.
Yeah, the chart's a little vague on that.
Yeah, it's a little unspecific. I'd love to see a timeline. I am looking at the Wikipedia page, and it turns out that it says, upon Herod's death, the Romans divided his kingdom among three of his sons and his sister. Archelaus became ethnarch of Judea, Samaria, and Idumea, which was mm-hmm. Herod the Great's old territory. Herod Antipas became tetrarch of Galilee and Perea, which I think is on the other side of of the Jordan River there on the east side. Philip became the tetrarch of the territories north and east of the Jordan, and Salome.
So that's the Galilee region.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Salome was given a toparchy. There's a new word for me, including the cities of Jibna, Ashdod, and Phasaelis. Those are three new words. There's a lot more I've got to learn about Herod and his. I'd hate to say his progeny, because not many of his progeny survived. Killed his sons, killed his wife, because he saw them as threats to his throne. Quite a story, quite a guy, Herod the Great.
Indeed. Mm. Well, if you're a visual person, I do recommend you going to biblicalarchaeology.org and looking at this chart and this article. It's really well done. It's Herod the Great and the Herodian family tree. And I do want to encourage your listeners to follow us on social media. PreservingBibleTimes.org is the website. And of course, you can search any of your favorite social media outlets, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for Preserving Bible Times for news on the Two Crowns movie. It's going to be fantastic. And you really just outdid yourself, Jim, putting that video together. I can't wait till it's released.
Thank you. It was wonderful material. It was just fun to work with. It was a joy to work with. And news of that video will be posted at preservingbibletimes.org as well. And there you can sign up for the Reflections newsletter. It's free. It comes to you every month in your email. And you'll look forward to those when they come due. Doug started that tradition years ago, and we continue that at Preserving Bible Times. Robbie, a pastor and a member of the board at Preserving Bible Times, and we'll look forward to next week. Hope to see you then. And who knows what the topic will be. We'll progress and continue to march. Robbie, thank
Maybe
you.
We should let David choose next week.
It'll be interesting.
Talk about Q probably, huh? Well, we'll see. Maybe. Yeah. On the other hand, maybe not.
Joy to be with you gentlemen this morning. Thanks so much for having me on again, Jim.
You're welcome. Yep. Have a great week,
Robbie.
Bye-bye.
See you, David.